You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station. The BFM Breakfast Grill. Top interviews you can't afford to miss. Presented by the CIMB Group.
In December last year, 9 candidates were nominated by their governments to succeed the current Director General of the World Trade Organization, Pascal Lamy, whose term ends on the 31st of August of this year. Dr. Herminio Blanco Mendoza is Mexico's candidate for the post, and he joins us today to talk about this important nomination and his plans for the organization. Dr. Herminio, thanks so much for joining us today, and welcome to the Breakfast Grill.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
In your proposal for the World Trade Organization candidacy, you put forth plans to follow a strategic route, which is divided into 3 time horizons. Can you briefly explain what they are?
With pleasure. Well, the first stage is this year. This year, in December, we will have a ministerial meeting in Bali, which is really a window of opportunity to show that in the WTO, ambassadors, governments can arrive to agreements. There is, in discussion, an important document, a package, which will entitle measures to facilitate trade, plus some measures with respect to agriculture. I think it's the value of implementing these measures would be significant for the world, but most importantly, sending a message that indeed in the WTO agreements can be reached would be highly valuable to get the business communities of the world involved in this negotiation. That's the step number one. Step number two would be to tackle the agenda of the Doha round. It is fundamental to get a substantive solution for this pending agenda. And number three, and I think very, very, very important, I would say critical for the credibility of the WTO, would be to then launch negotiations to update the rules of the WTO. As you very well know, there are at least 3 large trade agreements that are being negotiated in different regions in the world, one in South Asia, the other one in the Pacific Rim, and the other one a transatlantic initiative between the U.S. and the EU, which all of them mean strong challenge for the WTO. All of these agreements will have new rules to do trade, and in that sense, the rules that were negotiated for the WTO, which are already 20 years old since the WTO entered into force in 1994, will be outdated. I think those are the 3 stages of the negotiations which we'll have to tackle and tackle soon in the WTO.
Well, let's look at the short-term time horizon first. Now, you said that there's going to be a meeting in December in Bali. What kind of concrete results are you hoping to achieve? Give us some examples of the substantive issues that you're hoping to conclude in Bali.
Well, the number one would be trade facilitation. This is a package in which countries will commit to eliminate different obstacles at border regulations that will facilitate both import and exports of the countries. This is very important to in at different levels to eliminate obstacles. Customs obstacles, simple regulatory obstacles that will facilitate and will decrease both the cost of exporting and the cost of importing.
Well, the meeting in Bali is in December, so assuming that you do get elected, that's just 2 months in office. How can you substantially hope to achieve concrete results within that time frame?
Well, it is indeed a challenge, but the first thing that one has to know is that there will be a DG, a new director general elected since the 1st of June, and therefore there would be quite a bit more time to get into the essence of the negotiations. Obviously, there would be a Director General, Pascal Lamy, would be the Director General until the 31st of August. But in any transition, there would be a contact between the Director General elect and the Director General in functions. So there's much more time to be involved in the drafting of the package that would be agreed. It is in any way essential that every week we get progress on this package. And there are some things that are being worked on. I think that activity has returned to Geneva, and I'm looking forward to countries keep on moving, working, so that whoever becomes the Director General by the 31st of August, there would be at least most of the technical details, most of the technical structure of the agreements in place, maybe with some political decisions still to be made.
So your medium-term plan is to address the outstanding issues of the Doha development round. And I think for any WTO Director General elect, the stalled Doha round of talks probably will be the top task, because it was started back in 2001 and now it's 12 years later and it's still at an impasse. Dr. Hemenia, why do you think you will be successful now after so many years of stalled talks?
Well, the first thing that I would like to point out is my experience. I think I'm the most experienced negotiator, having been the chief negotiator of NAFTA, having been the minister that finished the negotiations between Mexico and the European Union, and also the minister that undertook negotiations between Mexico and most of the countries in Latin America. I do have that experience. I have the experience of having been the chief negotiator of GATT during the UY round. So I have that experience. I have also, very importantly, during the more than a decade now, I've been in the business community. I've been a member of boards of corporations in Europe, in Asia, in the US, and in Mexico. And I think being in the private sector gives you also quite a different perspective, and I think a lot of value added can be brought from my experience in the private sector and in the public sector.
Well,
it's obvious, as you say, that a negotiation that has lasted 12 years requires flexibility in the parties. It requires flexibility in the members of the WTO, and I think, like in any other negotiation, more flexibility and more willingness to work will be required for those countries of larger size, both developed countries and also the larger developing countries, the so-called emerging economies.
Are you saying then that the previous Director Generals of the World Trade Organization did not have negotiating experience, or, you know, are not flexible enough to have moved the talks forward?
No, I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is what is required right now. And I do believe that we are now in a window of opportunity, both because there are risks in front of us, specifically the launching of negotiations of the U.S. and the EU. I think that's quite a risk, but also an opportunity. An opportunity because I do believe that both the U.S. and the EU are responsible world players. Although they believe that a bilateral negotiation is important, I don't think it's for the interest of them or anybody in the world to have a WTO that becomes irrelevant. So I think and I trust that both the EU and the US will show flexibility in the negotiations.
So
additionally, I also believe that other countries that are being left out of these rather large negotiations in the Pacific, in the Atlantic, they should start moving. And I see some good signs that countries, members, will start moving in their negotiations.
Dr. Herminio, what do you think had gone wrong with the Doha talks, given that there was no progress after 12 years?
I think there are many, many factors that have come to bear in this extended negotiation. Obviously, since 2008, the fact that the world lived through a very deep recession and actually one of the biggest financial crisis. I think that that makes countries act quite a bit more protective, less willing to move in opening their markets. I believe that even that front, although the world is still growing slowly, that front is much more positive, and I do think that countries should use this opportunity to use trade as a leverage for growth. I think that's important, and I think it's important that after 8 years with the same team in the Secretariat, with a very effective Director General, Pascal Ami was my counterpart in the negotiations between Mexico and the EU for a free trade agreement. I think that even the fact that there's a change of leadership could be also a interesting psychological effect, also improving the probabilities that in this window of opportunity, these negotiations that have been in impasse for such a long time could come to a fruitful end.
So you say that addressing the outstanding issues of the Doha round will be your medium-term goal if you are elected. What kind of time frame are you giving yourself as a target?
Well, that's for members to be discussed. But what I will look for is that at the end of this year, we have a roadmap to get the Doha round solved, and then to duly work next year to get a sense of what can be done and how fast we can move, and to do as to tackle these negotiations as soon as possible. But that will obviously depend on the involvement of the different members of the WTO.
Dr. Herminio Blanco, the Mexican candidate for the position of the Director General of the World Trade Organization, is on the Breakfast Grill today. After this, more about his vision and proposals for the WTO.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Dr. Herminio Blanco, the Mexican candidate for the position of the Director General of the World Trade Organization, joins me on the Breakfast Grill this morning. You mentioned earlier about how you want to keep the WTO relevant. So this is the age of the bilateral deal, right? Pending the conclusion of the Doha round, we're seeing more and more countries turning to free trade agreements to gain trade access in new markets. And, you know, as more and more FTAs have been concluded, it seems that the central role of WTO in liberalizing trade has been called into question. So tell me, Dr. Herminio, if you are elected, what can the WTO do better than having an FTA?
Well, first of all, the WTO rules trade amongst 159 countries. As I commented before, indeed it is true that the rules of WTO are getting old. They were negotiated in the past century. They're getting old. 20 years ago, the draft was done and signed in Marrakesh. So it is fundamental that these rules are adapted to the new realities of trade. The way of doing business and trade across countries has changed in these 20 years. Countries are applying new measures behind the border that are implying impediments and obstacles to trade. And I think it's fundamental that these new ways to do trade, which are now being captured by these new free trade agreements, are also captured in the rules of WTO. that is essential. And number two, given this network of free trade regional agreements and bilateral agreements that exist, and given these three big free trade agreements that are being negotiated, especially the Trans-Pacific and Trans-Atlantic agreements, it is fundamental that the relation between those agreements and the WTO is much more than just the regulation that is provided by the articles of GATT and GATS in the WTO. It is fundamental that there is a systemic relation between the free trade agreements and the WTO, which will make the WTO keep its relevancy.
So you don't think that FTAs have rendered the Doha Round obsolete?
No, not at all. I think this is a challenge, but it's a challenge that can be taken. Why? Because what we have in WTO is a solid background of experience, a solid background of rules, a wide worldwide membership, and what is needed is for the rules of WTO to be modernized and to be more adapted to the reality of business in the 21st century.
You've worked in the private sector before, as you mentioned. How do you think the private sector perceives the legitimacy of WTO, you know, after so many years of watching stalled negotiations?
You know, that's one of the great challenges, and I think one of the great opportunities. At this point in time, the business community of the world is not involved in the WTO negotiations as they were involved before. And precisely the reason is because they have seen the incapability of members in Geneva to arrive to agreements. I think if we get success in the negotiations during this year and a good message in Bali, we can get the business community involved. I see a scenario where we get the U.S. business community involved and the U.S. government showing flexibility, decreasing their level of ambition in some of the negotiating groups, maybe on the NAMA negotiations, the negotiations that are with respect to the tariffs on industrial products, and that could be complemented by flexibilities of large emerging economies, and that this could start a positive domino effect in other groups of negotiations in the Doha Round.
Well, support for the work of WTO by the two biggest economies of the world, US and China, is of course important for you to progress in your talks. However, there have been growing tensions in US-China trade relations. We're seeing more and more trade disputes coming under the WTO. If you are at the helm of the WTO, how would you handle dealing with the demands of these world economic powers?
Well, it is, as you very well say, is fundamental that the large economies like China and the U.S. and the EU and Japan and India and Brazil move and are more flexible. I think it's of the interest of China, it's of the interest of the U.S., interest of the European Union, interest of all the countries to get a Doha round that is successful. I do believe that the main benefits that were announced in the launching of the Doha Round were with respect to least developed countries. I think that is there were a lot, and there are still a lot of expectations on the part of lower development and indeed least developed countries of benefits. Those expectations may be becoming frustrations because after all these years, they have not seen the benefits that were promised at the launching of the Doha ground. I think it's fundamental for the world, and it is even more important for countries on lower levels of development that we have a successful Doha round that will give to the most important product, mainly agricultural product of the least developed countries, access, and that is complemented by other types of support, technical assistance, capacity building, trade for aid for least developed countries, which will help them have a better and larger participation in trade and will allow them to use trade as a way to promote their own development.
How do you see Malaysia benefiting from WTO under your leadership, Dr. Herminio?
Well, Malaysia is a country that has progressed a lot. I see Malaysia of today compared to Malaysia of 20 years ago, and the degree of sophistication, the degree of opening to the world, and the realization in Malaysia that Malaysia has to play, and indeed is playing, a highly successful role in trade, and now being a very constructive player in Geneva. So I believe that trade in the world would be beneficial to all of the members, but especially to those countries that, as Malaysia, are reforming their economies, making them more competitive. Growing trade in the world would be very beneficial for those countries that are better prepared to export and to receive investments from different countries in the world. Mm-hmm. And Malaysia is prepared for that.
Well, speaking of reforms, there are detractors out there who have criticized the WTO, saying that it lacks democratic accountability in that its hearings on trade disputes are closed to the public and to the media. Now, how would you respond to those criticisms?
I do think that there has been an effort, and I would love to see this effort deepen, on opening in different fronts. I do think that the business communities and the rest of civil society in the world, there should be more communication between WTO and different members of the civil society. That is very useful. I think that there has been quite a bit of an effort done by the World Trade Organization, but I'm all favorable to deepen the process of communication, consultation, so that the WTO keeps on having this credibility in the world as the outmost organization for liberalizing trade. And most importantly, trade is not an end by itself. Trade is just a means for employment and prosperity in the societies in the world.
And Dr. Herminio, you're talking about your candidacy for the WTO. Now, it's a tight race. There are 9 candidates from Africa, Latin America, Middle East, New Zealand, even Asia. So what are the chances of Mexico clinching this seat?
Well, the experience as a Mexican, as a public official, and as a member of the business community of a country that is this year exporting more than $1 billion per day. We in Mexico use trade as a means to bring prosperity. Mexico does have two realities, a reality of a developed country in several regions and a reality of a least developed country in some of the regions. So I bring that experience from a developed country and from a country that is on the development stage. I am a person that has negotiated 10 free trade agreements with large countries such as the U.S., EU, and smaller countries in Latin America. I am a person that has the experience of more than one decade in the private sector, in the business community, knowing what are the important rules to decide for investments in different countries. So I do bring a figure that can establish bridges between the large economies and the smaller economies.
I've been speaking to Dr. Herminio Blanco, the Mexican candidate for the position of the Director General of the World Trade Organization. Thank you for being on the Breakfast Grill. Dr. Herminio, I wish you all the best with your candidacy and with the campaign.
Thank you very much.
I'm Melissa Idris for BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by the CIMB Group, Southeast Asia's leading universal bank. BFM 89.9, the business station.